All right. Ready to dive deep today.
Always ready.
We're tackling something kind of meta today, you know, understanding, but like understanding itself.
Oh, I like where this is going.
Hermeneutics time. Buckle up. But before you think we've gone full academic on you, this stuff's actually crazy useful for everyone.
Definitely not just for dusty libraries. I mean, you're using hermeneutics all the time, probably without even realizing it.
It's true, isn't it?
Yeah. It's basically the art of interpretation, how we make sense of anything, really, but especially texts.
So, like, not just, you know, like, super old, complicated text.
Nope. Anything. A news article, a novel, even that text your friend just sent. They're all up for interpretation.
Okay, that makes sense. So, for this deep dive, we're going to the minds of two hermeneutics heavy hitters, Gadamer and Boltman.
Two of the best, for sure.
I mean, their ideas are pretty complex, but we're going to unpack them, and hopefully you'll walk away with some new tools to understand, well, everything a little better.
Let's start with Gadamer, then. He had this really interesting idea about horizons. Like, imagine you're looking out at the ocean, right?
Okay, yeah.
That view, what you can see, that's your horizon.
Right.
Now, think about reading a text, any text. You come to it with your own background, your beliefs, all your experiences, the things that make you, you. That's your horizon, too.
So, like, if I'm reading, say, a news article about, I don't know, climate change, I'm not coming to it totally neutral.
Exactly.
I've got opinions, maybe some scientific knowledge, or just like a gut feeling about the whole thing. That's all part of my horizon.
Well, got it. And Gadamer, he was a philosopher in the 20th century. He said, understanding isn't about wiping your mind clean before you read.
Interesting.
It's more about this dynamic back and forth between your horizon and the horizon of the text. He calls it a fusion of horizons.
Fusion of horizons. That sounds pretty intense.
It is. Think of it like looking at a painting with a friend. You might see, I don't know, beauty, serenity, but your friend, they see chaos, maybe anger.
Oh, yeah.
Same painting, right. But your individual backgrounds are fusing with the painting to create different meanings.
So it's like that with the text, too.
Yeah. You bring your horizon. The text has its own horizon, like its historical context, the author's intention, all that. And they kind of blend together to create meaning.
It really is like a conversation, then.
It is. And this means there can be multiple totally valid interpretations of the same text.
Wait, so there's not one right answer?
Not necessarily. No, it's not about finding that one right answer. It's more about expanding your horizon by encountering the text. You know, it's potentially different perspective.
Makes sense. I'm remembering an example from Ephesians in the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
About being filled with the Spirit. If you read that with a super individualistic mindset,
yeah,
you might just think about like the Spirit filling each person, you know, separately.
Right.
But if you think about like the historical context, the community is really important there. So the community being filled together. So totally different understanding, but both valid.
Exactly. It's all about the back and forth, the dialogue.
Yeah.
Your expectations might be confirmed. They might be challenged. Heck, they might even be totally overturned by the text.
Yeah.
And in that process, your understanding grows. It changes.
That's making me rethink how I read, well, everything. But hold on. If there's no one right way to interpret something, does that mean, like, anything goes?
That's where our next thinker comes in, Rudolf Boltmann. He brings some really important nuances to this idea.
Okay, so Gadamer really got me thinking with that fusion of horizons.
Yeah.
Now we're moving on to Rudolf Boltmann, right?
That's right.
So what was his big idea?
Well, Boltmann brings existentialism into the picture.
Existentialism? Sounds a little intimidating.
It's actually not as complicated as it might seem. It's about finding meaning in your own existence, you know, freedom of choice, authenticity, all that good stuff.
Okay, so how does that tie into interpretation?
It's about more than just, like, figuring out the dictionary definition of words. It's about wrestling with what a text means for you personally.
So it's like a deeper level of engagement.
Exactly. Boltmann believed the goal of interpretation isn't just intellectual understanding. It's about having this existential encounter with the text, letting it challenge you, push you to make decisions, take action, to really examine what it means to be human.
Wow, that's powerful. And I think I read somewhere that Boltmann had some, let's say, controversial ideas about interpreting the Bible.
He did. Boltmann was known for his approach to demythologization. He argued that a lot of the supernatural stuff in the Bible, like miracles, angels, even the resurrection.
Yeah.
Well, he said those were rooted in a way of thinking that, you know, modern folks, with our scientific understanding, we don't really share anymore.
So he was saying we should just, like, ignore those parts of the Bible.
Not quite. His point was that we can get so focused on the literal details, you know, whether a miracle literally happened or not,
right,
that we miss the deeper meaning, the part that speaks to the human experience. He felt that if we stripped away what he called the mythological language, we could uncover these core truths about being human that those stories were trying to convey.
Oh, I see. So instead of arguing about whether, you know, Jonah could actually be swallowed by a whale, we should focus on what that story tells us about our own tendencies to run from responsibility or about facing our fears.
Exactly. Boltman believed that this approach allowed the Bible to speak to people in a more relevant way, even if they didn't take everything literally.
It's kind of like those ancient myths. We don't believe in literal gods and monsters anymore, but we still find those stories compelling, right?
Right, because they're tapping into these universal human experiences. Love, loss, fear, courage.
And Boltman would say that some biblical stories are kind of like that, too, using symbolic language to express these really profound truths about what it means to be human.
Exactly. And this approach isn't just for religious texts, either. You can use it with novels, movies, even songs. It's about going beyond the surface level, looking for those deeper meanings that resonate with you.
This is giving me so much to think about. We've explored these two pretty intense approaches to interpretation. Gadamer's fusion of horizons and Boltman's existential encounter. But, you know, I don't walk around with a philosophy textbook in my back pocket. So how do we actually apply these ideas in our everyday lives? Don't worry, you don't need to, like, become a philosophy professor to get something out of this.
Right.
What's really cool is that even though Gadamer and Boltman came from totally different perspectives, they both kind of point to these practical takeaways, you know, things that can help us all be a little more aware, more thoughtful about how we understand the world.
Definitely. Like, one of the biggest things, if we're thinking big picture, is that none of us are just, you know, neutral observers.
Yeah.
We all have those horizons we were talking about, those sets of experiences, beliefs that shape how we see things.
So I can't really pretend we're totally objective when we're reading something or even just experiencing something.
Exactly. We're always bringing our own baggage. Yeah. Boltman actually called them pre-understandings.
Pre-understandings. Okay.
And he said, being aware of them, you know, acknowledging them, is the first step to being a more critical reader, thinker, really.
So, like, if I know I tend to be super skeptical of stuff I read on social media,
yeah,
I can keep that bias in mind, be aware of it as I'm scrolling.
Exactly. And another thing, both of these thinkers really emphasize this, interpretation isn't just a one-time thing. It's a process, a dialogue. It's not like you read something once and boom, you've got it all figured out.
I know what you mean. It's like when you reread a book you loved as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
And as an adult, you pick up on things you totally missed before.
Right. Or you see the characters in a whole new light, maybe.
Exactly. It's like your horizon has shifted, so your understanding of the book changes, too.
Exactly. And this applies to more than just books. News articles, political speeches, conversations with friends, anything.
So we should never think like, okay, I've got this totally figured out.
Nope. Always more to learn, more layers to uncover.
That's actually kind of exciting though, isn't it?
I think so. It means you can approach things with fresh eyes and open mind. You don't have to have all the answers right away.
This has been such a fascinating deep dive. So much to think about.
It really has.
Before we wrap up, I've got one last question I want to throw out there. Something to ponder, you know?
Okay, I'm ready.
Gadamer talked about this dialogue between your horizon and the text's horizon.
Hmm.
But does that mean the text actually has its own voice, like independent of us?
Yeah.
Or are we, in a way, always just kind of hearing ourselves in it? It's a bit of a mind bender, but I think it's worth thinking about.
Yeah, that's a good one. Might not be a simple answer to that, but I think that's the cool thing about hermeneutics. It makes you ask these kinds of questions. Makes you grapple with the complexity, you know, and just accept that understanding is a journey, not a destination.
Love that. And hey, who knows, maybe your own deep dive into these texts will give you some brand new insights, some aha moments.
I hope so.
Be sure to let us know what you come up with on social media. We always love hearing your thoughts.
Yeah, definitely.
And join us next time when we'll be exploring a whole different frontier, artificial intelligence, and the future of storytelling. Until then, happy interpreting.